Israel, having spent many, many years in captivity and heard these words coming from God, it must have been a tremendous boost to their morale. And then Easter came along, and we all hear these words. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another to say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And then Jesus, on his way in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, there were those among them who came from other countries who wanted to meet him. And now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. And they came to Philip, who was with Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip went and told Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death that he was to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Thankful to my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for how you're at work in our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit presence. We're grateful. We're humbled. We open ourselves to you now. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Something new is always exciting, isn't it? That new car smell. In fact, I understand that they even have air fresheners out that smell like new cars. Oddly enough, sprays, things like that that kind of communicate that, wow, this is brand new. And there is a pitch man on TV right now that I'm just intrigued with because it seems like he has only one volume. You know what a pitch man is? Billy Mays! Billy Mays here, folks! I want to say back to the screen, no kidding. I know already. Billy Mays selling this, selling that. He's even doing commercials now for ESPN, for fantasy baseball. They get him out there because he grabs your attention. Something new, something improved, something that's going to make your life absolutely wonderful. Now, I want to share with you something right now. As opposed to what some of you may feel, he sells those. There's another pitch man that sells those sham wows. I do not use one of those on my head every morning. I just wanted to let you know that right now. Although, maybe it's a good idea. New and improved is something that we find very difficult to grasp, because we ourselves, as we humble ourselves, understand that we're neither new nor improved, on our own at least. But in God's eyes, as we humble ourselves before Him, in God's eyes, as we make ourselves vulnerable before Him, in God's eyes, as we uncross our arms and just go like this, God receives it and says, I'm in a new and sacred relationship with you. That, my friends, is new and improved. Maybe not as the world sees it, but as people of God indeed must receive it. That's how we are defined by God. That's who defines us. I had a conversation, like Judy and I had lunch with a sister in Christ. And in our sharing and in our conversation, that's what came out. And it's a very simple phrase, isn't it? God defines you, not someone else. God defines you, not the person who abused you. God defines you, not the person who neglected you. God defines you, not the person who turned away from you, who you could not count on. That is freeing. That's energizing, in fact. And it's always very humbling whenever you share a simple sentence truth with someone, and then God sends tears to wash the soul. It's amazing to see God at work. Someone receiving a truth, Him cleansing that person, and then them being able to step forward in a whole new way, knowing that they have an even better relationship with God than they could ever have imagined. And it's because God was the one who approached them. The words of Jeremiah are hopeful, aren't they? And yet they come from the reluctant prophet. They come in a time of trial for the people of God. Doesn't matter. Again, it's not the exterior things. It's not our circumstances that define us. Who defines us? Who defines us? Just wanted to make sure the people in the back were with me also. Thank you. These words are exciting. But as our words of assurance reminded us, there's good news and bad news. God's going to answer our prayers. That's the good news. The bad news, God's going to answer our prayers. In other words, God's going to hold us to what we say to Him, to how we open up our lives, and when we say, Lord, I am thine, draw me nearer to that precious blood. That will happen. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It's not going to be like the old one. It is going to be a covenant that is deep, that is abiding, because I will write it on their hearts. Has anyone ever given you a book that you cherish? Has anyone ever written a note to you, a love letter? This is something that God has written to us, a love letter, if you will. And we are not simply to read it as a textbook. This is the Bible, by the way. It's not Reader's Digest that I'm holding up here in front of you. This is the Bible. It's not simply something that we are called to read as a textbook and memorize and say, okay, done with that, next. But rather something to take in. to remember that in the days that are coming, and that meets each and every day now because we are people of the new covenant. And each and every day, as we take in God's word, then God continues to write truth on our hearts. As we take in his word and read it, God continues to enact change in us. And it all starts from the forgiveness that we receive from him. There was a young man that was going through the Kaya program. And I've shared that with you briefly what that is. A ministry to incarcerated youths back in Phoenix, teenage girls and boys, assault, drugs, prostitution, all sorts of things that they've been incarcerated for. And yet these Kaya weekends are for those young men and young women who have shown an inclination and openness to God, who have been open, who have been talking to the chaplain, who have been invited on this program, and they are in dire need of knowing, being reminded that they are loved. This young one young man in particular had gone through some horrendous things in his life, neglect and abuse. And yet, upon realizing that he was forgiven by God, that God had first done it for him and had approached him and continued to do it each and every day, he was able to forgive others that had done this to him. And at the end of Kaya, this 3 days where we just surround these kids with love and encourage them to develop a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, at the end of these 3 days, this abused and beaten and broken child of God was able to stand up and say, "Now I know fully that I belong to God." I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Forgiveness and being able to step forward, living as those who are defined by God, not our surroundings, is something that the world needs to receive now more than ever. There's a story told by Ernest Hemingway that relates a father who was estranged from his son, putting an ad in a Spanish newspaper in Madrid saying, "Paco, all is forgiven. Come and meet me and receive my love." And he gave the address of a hotel there in Madrid. And he waited, not sure what to expect the next day. But what he found was amazing. Because Paco, you see, is a well-used name in Spain. And there were 800 Pacos waiting at that hotel. Now, on one hand, yeah, that's humorous. But on the other hand, it's poignant, isn't it? All of those individuals seeking reconciliation and healing from their hurt. The world is a hurting place. And how exciting it is to know that we have something to offer that hurt. We need not contribute to the hurt, but rather we can be channels of grace in the midst of that brokenness and hurt. And remind others that there is another way to travel. Remind others who defines them. Jesus, in the reading from John, is approached by Greeks, it says. Now in John, out of all the Gospels, There's a high level of imagery. Some would say even mysticism. So that when something is said, there's actually another meaning as well. Whenever it says that the Greeks approached Jesus, what this is really referencing is that the world started approaching him. Those other than Jews, in other words, started approaching him, wanting to know more about him. And whenever it says that they wanted to see him, it wasn't simply about wanting to see, like spotting a celebrity. Oh, do you know who I saw? Do you know who I saw the other day? I saw John Palmer walking on the street. Wow! Awesome! I wanted to get his autograph. He'll give it to me later. This is actually about experiencing, knowing. It's like whenever you say to someone, see what I mean, after you've explained it to them, and they go, no. And I didn't mean to look at the choir in particular. I'm sorry. Aren't they a good-looking choir up there? Aren't they fantastic? Really good? Yeah. Give them a hand. But whenever you say, see what I mean, saying, do you understand? They wanted to understand Jesus. There was something about him, a magnetism that drew people. People gathered around him. People wanted to be near him. People wanted to listen. People were mesmerized. So you see, this is truly pointing towards what would eventually be an incredible outpouring of God's Holy Spirit from of all places, a cross and an empty tomb. For us, this incident, this time of teaching of Jesus, continues us on the journey toward the cross. Jesus has healed Lazarus. There's been an entry into Jerusalem. He's really shaking up the powers that be, in other words. Because they wanted to define people and control people, the authorities in that day. And Jesus is saying, no, God, my heavenly Father, and yours as well, is the one that defines you. And he defines you by forgiveness and love. That's freeing, isn't it? When we really live as forgiven people, when we really live as people who are loved, that is freeing. That breaks the chains of the bondage to sin and death. And Jesus points to that also in this reading. Very truly I tell you, in verse 24, very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. In allowing ourselves to be broken down before God, in other words, to be truthful before God, then God honors us, builds us up, and fills us, and equips us for the work ahead. I would invite you this morning, in our time of discipleship, to be sensing how God is at work in your life. Yes, He's called us into a new relationship, a renewed relationship, something truly new and improved, but from the inside out and based on God. Not anything that we do, based on God at work in our life. Take a few moments right now. Take a few moments and think about what needs to die in you. What you need to lay before God, for God to be at work in you even more fully. You can close your eyes, you can open your hands, however you're comfortable. And as you hear the music play, just sense that movement of God. And if there isn't anything in particular, simply be open to the God who is at work in you, who cherishes you, and seeks to use you as a forgiven and loved disciple of Christ. Heavenly Father, we recommit ourselves, we commit ourselves through Christ, a saving relationship with you through Christ, and by the nurturing presence of your Holy Spirit to a renewed openness to how you guide us, how you want to speak through us, how you want to share this new hope with the world. Thank you for hope that you've given us. Love that you've filled us with. Help us to readily share it with one another. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.